Welcome to the best of Come Follow Me. If you, like us, love to supplement your study of the doctrines of Christ found in the scriptures with Come Follow Me podcasts, then we hope this channel will be beneficial to you. We have listened to all the podcasts and will tell you which ones we think are the best this week. And if anyone says anything we disagree with, we'll offer counterpoints.
Today, we will have a few brief segments, an overview, podcast highlights of the week, podcast counterpoints, and the podcast joke of the week.
So this week, the scripture curriculum is Enos, Jerem, Omni, and Words of Mormon. This includes Enos's wonderful prayer experience, Amalekai's powerful invitation and historical update, and Mormon's explanation of the transition from the small plates and Mormon's abridgment of the large plates. Okay, now for the highlights. It is always difficult because they are all so good, but here goes.
I chose the Unshaken podcast from 4 years ago. I love what Brother Jared Halverson teaches about how we pray. In particular, he contrasts the active words we find in Enos's experience with our colloquial use of say your prayers. Let's take a listen.
I'm amazed that throughout scripture, the verb say is never associated with prayer, except once. And that's in the sacrament prayers. Those prayers have to be said precisely. And yet every other time in the scriptures, the verbs are so much more powerful than just saying something.
I love that clarification. For me, it drives home the importance of communing with God through prayer rather than a rote expression. Brother Halverson goes on to give several examples from his own life. There's at least one more good reason to listen to this particular podcast, and I'll mention that a little bit later in our podcast. Now, I hate to set a precedent of picking more than one highlight, but that's what I'm about to do.
Oh, man.
In the Come Follow Up podcast, you need to listen to the story by Sister Catherine Davis. It starts at about 1930. It's about knocking on a car window. The punchline of the story, the lesson, is not what I expected it to be as the story was unfolding. And it's profound. It'll take you 2 minutes, and it's wonderful.
I chose the Scripture Central video with Tyler Griffin. In general, if you want to listen to it, he goes through and talks about a principle of know, feel, and do, and applying that to your scripture study, which is relevant this week and every other week. If you're a little stagnant in your scripture study, maybe just listen to this all together and try to apply what he's teaching with the know, feel, do principles to your life and scripture study. But what I really liked was a clip that he's talking about with Enos. He's contrasting how, if you notice in Enos verse 4, his soul is hungered, and so he prays. And then in verse 17, it says that his soul is at rest. And then he's going to talk about how that's important.
Okay, let's listen.
There comes a time when you come to know certain things and you come to feel certain levels of assurance that you can then do certain things with that level of assurance, and you can do it in a less panicked way.
So that just really spoke to me and made me then want to get to the point where I can have just quiet assurance and that my soul can be at rest with whatever I'm going through at the time. And that can be something little that I'm anxious about, or it could be something big, like all the big things that Enos prayed about. But I like how he applied that, and I want to search after that a little bit more myself. Okay, now for some counterpoints.
Okay, three things to say here. First, I heard some speculation about the nature of Enos's sins. Was he rebelling against his father? Is this the prodigal son acted out here? As I've said before, when it comes to people in the scriptures, I try to stick with the scriptural account, and where there is ambiguity, I give that person grace. So what do we actually know about Enos? We see in verses 3-5, that the words of his father sunk deep. He cries to the Lord all the day long. and then has his sins forgiven, among other things. I don't think it is fair to assume that he was riotous like the prodigal son, or otherwise wayward. If we need to assume a scriptural parallel, why not Joseph Smith? The Follow Him podcast this week points out the parallels in their experience, including having their sins forgiven. And when Joseph Smith later talks about his sins, this is before the first Moroni visit, he describes them as the weakness of youth and foibles of human nature. To put it another way, if you were to raise a child that's like the perfect child, you tell her to fold her arms, she folds her arms. You tell her to read her scriptures every day, she reads her scriptures every day. She's nice, she's kind to her sibling, she says, I'm sorry. Even that child, whether in adolescence, teenage years, or maturity, will need to gain their own testimony of Jesus Christ through prayer and experience the joy of receiving a remission of sins by accessing the atonement of Jesus Christ through repentance. We don't know whether Enos was the perfect angel or Dennis the Menace. Since we don't know, let's give Enos grace.
Yeah. Yeah.
I heard some speculation that Enos's description of the Lamanites reflects the prejudicial narratives of his Nephite community. Now, maybe I'm just not smart enough, but I don't see evidence of this in Enos. I think the allegation is made because of the phrase, full of idolatry and filthiness. This is in Enos 1, verse 20. But as both a substantive matter and a grammatical matter, to say that's a comment about race or other appearance seems like a bridge too far. More likely, it's something like a comment about the types of inappropriate or unkempt things their hearts are set on. There are accounts in the Book of Mormon about physical appearance. I just don't see, based on a straightforward reading, how this is one of them. Moreover, when I read verse 20, I don't see anything that shows prejudging. Rather, I see an account of long personal experience, including the clothes the Lamanites wear, the weapons they're really good at, and their ongoing desire to destroy. Indeed, Enos's frank and unflattering account of the Lamanites is actually consistent with his frank and unflattering account of the Nephites in verse 23. They needed harshness, reminders of death, and nothing else would keep them from destruction. So I don't see an author who is prejudiced against the other team, and the charge of prejudice, racial or otherwise, should not be made lightly.
No.
Rather, I see a prophet who's giving a terse, direct account of all the peoples he has labored with. Again, let's stick with the scriptures and let grace fill in the blanks.
Yes.
Third and lastly, I heard some commentary about Jerem not following Nephi's charge to Jacob about what should and should not be on the plates. This is in Jerem chapter 1, verse 1. Furthermore, Jerem started that trend of not recording spiritual things that we see continued by Omni and other authors of the Book of Omni. Although I do not think that position is supported by Jerem 1:1 or the rest of that chapter, rather than spell that out, I refer you to the Unshaken video from 4 years ago that I mentioned earlier in my highlight, and that particular part starts around minute 21. Now, one more thing. This doesn't really count as a counterpoint.
Right.
It's just, I happen to have a favorite Enos story that nobody shared. This is from Elder Anderson, and I'll paraphrase and quote some of it here. So this is back before Elder Anderson was an apostle. He was serving as executive director of the church audiovisual department. During that time, he had almost weekly meetings with President James E. Faust, who was in the first presidency. Elder Anderson says, "One time I went to President Faust with a piercing problem I didn't know how to solve. After I asked for his advice about the problem, rather than just give me an answer, he said to me, 'Neil, have you prayed about it?' I told him I had prayed about it. Then he paused as if I was not understanding him, and he said, 'Have you prayed all night like Enos did?' Then he sat back in his chair and said, 'I have prayed all night many times to receive the answer to difficult challenges. That is how you'll receive your answer as well.' He was right."
Oh, that's cool.
That's a great story, right?
Yeah, that's a great story. Now we're going to have the joke of the week.
All right, so I mentioned follow him briefly a moment ago. For the second week in a row, they have our joke of the week. Before playing the joke, though, let me say, if, like me, you don't have a great sense of the specific financial situation of Joseph Smith's family relative to the cost of printing the Book of Mormon,
oh, yeah,
then you need to listen to Follow Him Part 2, in which they explained this. It starts around minute 14, and for me, that was eye-opening. I didn't appreciate mathematically
how hard that was,
the relative difficulty.
Right.
Now, for the joke.
Because there's actually two sets of records that you get into these books of Jeremiah, you get a reticence for people to write in them, in part because there's another record. This is probably like me not wanting to write in a journal because I'm like, well, my wife's keeping a journal, and I mean, she's going to be more honest anyway. That there's another record, so I don't have to do it.
Pretty good, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Very true.
But
nice little chuckle.
Yeah. Okay.
Feel free to let us know in the comments your thoughts on this week's podcast, or let us know if you disagree with us about anything. We're always happy to be corrected, and we will make sure not to include it in our journals. Next week, we'll cover Mosiah 1 through 3. We look forward to you joining us again on the best of Come Follow Me.